There will be no personal nor direct attacks on anyone. And I would ask that you please try to keep down the loud cheering and the clapping. There will be no booing and no unruly behavior. With that,
this is painful, and it will be for a long time.
Donald Trump, baby! That's right, this man knows what's up!
After all, these are a couple of high-stepping turkeys, and you know what to say about a high-stepper. No step too high for a high-stepper.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
Well, Sean's a tough guy. I mean, I think everybody knows that. You know, Sean, he took some licks. He hangs in there.
Yeah, what's wrong with the beer we got? I mean, the beer we got drank pretty good, don't it?
Did you hear what I said?
So this is a brave council. I had no doubt about them.
That doesn't suck.
If you don't like it, too bad.
Last question. Were you high on drugs?
Last question. Kiss my...
Right, 107 FM Talk 106.5 and Midday Mobile, hour number two on this Wednesday. This is a Super Bowl week of politics. It has been in Washington and back here at home. And we'll continue that conversation this hour as candidate for AL1, Bill Hightower, in studio. We'll get to it in a second, but I do want to run through a couple of these texts here. And this is... Number one, yes, the basic quality, audio quality question from last night's State of the State address. I am not sure if it's a balance thing because the audio quality for the Mobile City Council meetings has improved dramatically after years of me crybabying about it. It's improved dramatically over the last 3 weeks. Salute to whomever was behind that for the City Council. We can now enjoy without the overmodulated and staccato signal that comes out of that. A lot better. So celebrate. Good stuff. Good on you. Maybe that's the reason now it sounds so bad coming out of Montgomery. Maybe that's the... Because people were asking why the audio was so bad. I don't know. And this texter who said they, like me, was listening to the governor last night. This person said, I was on the way back from the woods listening to the governor. Hope you could answer a question. Oddly enough, that's what I was doing as well when I listened. Said, how does anyone think that public school problem will be corrected by letting the governor pick the members of the state school board? Now, we're talking about Amendment 1 and that question about it. I get what you're asking. This is what we talked about on the show the other day about Amendment 1. But I also want to point out is with the right to vote does come responsibility, at least in my theory. And you can argue this one way or another. I don't want to surrender our right to vote for any other part of our government as well and to move it into an appointment by the governor. I get it. And unnamed texter, I get what you're saying. At the same time, please tell me how many people you think that vote. It's important. I'm a parent, got kids. I mean, how many of us that are in that position do our due diligence and study? You might do it, but how many a percentage of us that show up to vote for primaries and generals do our due diligence to do the research on the person that wants to be our representative on the State Board of Education? So I think that that sword is sharp on both sides. At least that's where I feel on the discussion. And a man that is running for federal office, AL1, but has spent time in Goat Hill and dealing with these kind of questions, Bill Hightower, has joined us in studio this afternoon. Thanks for being here.
Hey, Sean. Hello, Mobile and surrounding Baldwin County and other counties.
Yes.
Great
yeah.
to be here. Thanks.
We stretch all.
How big is that
well,
area?
I would say that we are... Just geographically, we are probably 80% of AL1 that we cover with this signal.
That's incredible.
So there you go.
And see, you're setting a high watermark here. And one day I hope to see you receive the Presidential Medal of Freedom when they call you from the balcony.
Look,
Rush changed the whole idea of talk radio.
Mm-hmm.
He just set the bar high. He turned it into entertainment.
Yes.
And that's what you're doing, education and entertainment.
I think, and that's what, yeah, quoted a couple publications, asked about it, and one thing I'll add is that he was different than just a straight pundit that reads talking points, because he came out of music radio like I did decades ago, and then understood that to get a message across, you couldn't just read down a straight list, you know, doing this, you know, every day for 3 hours a day. So, yeah, I good for him. I don't know that I beat that medal, but I just, if I can stick around for another couple decades, that'll be good for me. It's just a longevity of career.
We've been listening to him, I think, what, 30 years? It's, yeah. My wife put me onto him. He's amazing. Rush Limbaugh, that is, we're talking about. But, you know, last night was seasoned with so many good things. I was so encouraged when I came out of that. The quotes, I love the quotes. This is what President Trump said. He said, in America, we don't punish prayer. We don't tear down crosses. We don't ban symbols of faith. We don't muzzle preachers or pastors. In America, we celebrate faith. We cherish religion. We lift our voices in prayer, and we raise our sights to the glory of God. I hadn't heard anything that beautiful coming from that lectern in so many years. It was like they were allergic to words like that when Obama was there. Mm-hmm. Those are strong words, Sean. Our president, when he speaks, it's almost like a prophet speaking sometimes about America. He really believes what he's talking about.
But, you know, it is interesting that you could talk about the vessel, and you could talk about the people that have been at that lectern and had been addressing the combined houses of government for the United States and the State of the Union, that maybe had had a lifetime that was more, whether they came straight out of a church or they had a lifetime of being so involved with the church. To somebody like, I mean, say something frank here, that people, Donald J. Trump is didn't exactly, I mean, not Jerry Falwell through his younger years and all that, correct?
No, it is.
I mean, that's truth, right?
I would argue that his journey toward Jesus, I like to call it, journey toward Jesus has moved forward.
Well, that's what I'm saying. So, because yeah, when you mention prophet, unlikely, you know, and it comes, that prophet comes clothed in different ways. And the idea that it's not this formulaic, that this is a person like, let's look at Vice President Mike Pence, okay? A fan of Mike Pence, like, but Mike Pence has been on this track. He's been proselytizing for his whole career, and you know it's coming. So it's interesting to see with Donald Trump that here's somebody that if you go back to his 20s or 30s, he wouldn't. But something happened, and maybe it has more resonance. And I hate to take away from somebody who's been living that word their whole life, but it has more resonance when it's something that they go, you know, 25 years ago, 30 years ago, I was a different person. Something like that. Look at now and look at that journey. So I don't know. To me, that stands out.
This is the miracle of the whole story of Jesus, is that he changes a person's heart. I can't speak to where President Trump is on that. I can't speak to where anybody is, but I'm responsible for my own. And we have an affront going on right now with our religious liberties. Our colleges are clear view of that. And they're censoring people. And I saw it and I see it. And it alarms me. So to have somebody be a standard bearer and raise...
Right, that's what I'm saying. It's powerful. You could argue, which people would, I mean, unlikely, if you took the time machine back, that this would be the standard bearer for that message.
Yeah, it could be. In my prayer life, I pray for the ministers and priests in our city and our state almost every day.
Right.
But they're not the only standard bearers. Well, you and I are. We have to treat people as equals. And I think that's really important in politics or in radio. Doesn't matter. Or whether you're building homes or trading stocks or whatever it is, being a mother and raising children, it's just, it's part of who we are. In Alabama, we have we're not San Francisco, thank goodness. We're not New York. We're Alabama.
Yeah, but that's one of the challenges too. If you look at last night's State of the Union, you are President of the United States and you are, you know, we're talking about the office you're running for, representing us in Southwest Alabama, in AL1, President of the United States. You do have to take into account California, New York, North Dakota, Virginia.
So I could just picture myself on the House floor speaking, and somebody says, "We don't agree with you," and I would say back to them, "That's fine. I'm not representing California. Mm-hmm. I'm representing Alabama. That's how this thing works."
Right. Yeah.
And so when I see something that needs to go a certain direction, whether it's like on the religious liberties issue, when I saw that in some states they're shutting down faith-based adoption agencies in other states, I wrote a bill to make it illegal to do that here. We have to have faith-based adoption. They account for a third of our adoption in the state. State wouldn't be able to handle it otherwise. But what a redemptive story for a young man or a young woman who has an unplanned pregnancy to go to a faith-based adoption agency and be able to place that child in a family of the same faith. That's redemptive. And it makes the couple feel like there's something good that's going to come out of this, when maybe it wasn't in goodness that the child was conceived, but it still can be redeemed. That's the power. So I think we're going to find ourselves more and more fighting for our religious liberties. And I'm so glad President Trump wants to put prayer back in schools. And we now have an amendment or a constitution that says that the Ten Commandments can be on the wall in school. These are important statements about who we are as Alabamians.
Does it? Okay, we'll hit that because we're up against the news break. We'll come back and talk about that more as Bill Hightower, our guest, running for AL1. We'll talk more about the campaign so far and this fevered pitch between now. If y'all hadn't looked at your calendar, by the way, March 3rd.
Yes, March 3rd.
Is less than a month away, even by my math. Less than a month away.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
All right, welcome back. FM Talk 106.5 and Midday Mobile. Glad to have you here on this Wednesday. You sure? If you're in Mobile County, you've heard the rumbles of thunder and seen the lightning so far. Baldwin County, you're part of the mix as well. Dr. Bill calls for it throughout this afternoon, mellowing a little bit later this evening and then picking back up in intensity in the wee hours into tomorrow morning. Chance of severe thunderstorms, straight line winds. That's part of this flash flood watch going on as well, as we could receive 2 to 4 inches of rain through this process, and a chance, a small chance, but a chance at tornadoes. But we will check in with Dr. Bill and get more info as we move through the afternoon. All right, continue our discussion with Bill Hightower, candidate for AL1. And as I said before we went to the break, a cliche of the day, it's crunch time here. I mean, March 3rd, if y'all been sleeping, March 3rd's primary.
March 3rd. We can say it as many times as we can. I want people to put it in their phone, you know, mm-hmm. so they go and vote.
Yeah,
we're all out there trying to our hardest to get the message out, and our message is really resonating across District 1, which includes 6 counties, and it's just amazing what we're seeing, and we have such a great part of the state here that's very different from the north. You know, I know that because I've been in the state legislature, and I've had to fight over with the north over issues about how we treat our ecology on the coast, about the BP oil money, about trying to lower business taxes to make us more competitive in the state. We're doing so well right now because of the national economy. And what I wish the legislature would focus on is how do we make ourselves even better now so that there will be another downturn. When yes. it occurs, we will be ready to take it on.
Oh, yeah, you should. But at least having Governor Ivey mentioned in the rolling reserve, hopefully the legislature looks at that, because I'm one that, yeah, I would, I mean, we have a chance here. Let's slow down, let's put a little back, because yes, I mean, it's inevitable. Yeah. There will be another downturn, and then you were dealing with this stuff, and then we don't have any money, we're going to do this and that.
I know.
And you're going, hey, remember the last upturn?
Proration.
Yeah. Proration. I mean, okay. we could have avoided that.
But the Republicans did, you know, they have stopped the issue of proration, and I think that's clearly because of the business people that went into the legislature. And that's why, you know, one of the things I had when I went there is I've worked for companies with 2 people. I've worked with companies with 20,000 people. And that business approach is something we need in the legislature. You know, another thing President Trump said I thought was amazing was he says, we have rejected the downsizing of America's destiny. Now, when Obama spoke, I always felt like it was the end.
Mm-hmm.
I had no hope. He said GNP is going to only be 2%.
It's the new norm. Yeah.
Yeah. And we believed it, Sean. And this is what is incredible about what's going on, is we got higher than ever stock market with tremendous value given to every pensioner out there. It's just incredible. And then we're newly respected in the world. I loved what President Trump talked about when China, he says, you know, China always wondered why in the world somebody didn't call them on the carpet about this bad mm-hmm. trade. I've worked in China. I know how they operate, and they don't operate with a level playing field. So with this new phase one agreement that he's got in place, and you've probably talked about this, $200 billion of additional sales over the next 2 years. That's a good step. But let me give a shout out to the farmers, because I've got a lot of them in this District 1. They've been patriots. They've taken it on the chin. It's hit their pocketbook. But they understood what Trump was doing. And all farmers don't get any kind of subsidy as a result of those tariffs, like pecan farmers.
All right.
They don't get any of that. And they have sustained their faith in it, even though it hurt them. And my hat's off to them. I love them. They're the salt of the earth. We've got a tremendous agricultural district. And if we lose a district, congressional district, you know, due to the census, the good chance is the agricultural portion of District 1 is going to increase even more. That's why I want to be on the Ag Committee when I get up there, so I can represent the interest of our district.
Let's talk about that, because yeah, you mentioned about that Ag Committee being on it. Other committees, though, I mean, and I'm sure as I say this, because I am a homer, but there are people in other areas who go, well, my district's the most diverse. But for me to think about from ag to, I mean, from that pecan farm to Austell, you know, from the shrimper to somebody running timber operation. I mean, it, you know, and I'm glossing over big, big swaths of what we do around here.
Right.
But then it's like, there's some people in the state that, like, here in the Wiregrass, it's ag, and there's some military, but it's ag. Right.
And
here,
medical.
Yeah, and that's true. But here we've got so many different things. You have to try to be on every committee you could for the.
Yeah, but I can't, you know, and so I've got to prioritize it. I was talking to one of the congressional members about how you pick your committees, and he told me straight up, he says, you pick the committee based on what your district needs. And now I like the fact that our district's diverse, right? That's good for the economy because
sure.
We're not dependent on any one thing.
Right.
But I think, you know, Congressman Byrne, when he first got up there, he had been in the state Senate, you see. So when he went to U.S. Congress, he hit the ground running, and immediately he got on armed services.
Mm-hmm.
Another one is appropriations, and we've got a great history with Sonny Callahan heading up appropriations, and Martha Roby was on appropriations. So I'm hoping that that will be a possibility as well. And infrastructure, my goodness, we've got to have some pull there, don't we? We've got to get the bridge built. We need to move the West County Commercial Air Service downtown. We need the Beachway Express from I-65 down to I-10. We need to build another bridge over on the beach to help people to get out of there when a hurricane comes, but also to leverage that vacation group.
And that's one of the subtleties to negotiate in Washington, at least watching this from the outside, is you mentioned it, that maybe we realize it's also going to be a big economic incentive and productive for AL1 to have whatever road. But the funding, the way things are cut out in Washington, is not there for that. It's there for hurricane evacuation. So you got to know that this is also, it has dual purposes. But I mean, you mentioned it, right? So you would have to know that in reality, there's a lot of reasons we want this road, but you have to make the case that it's because we're going to focus on the hurricane part of it.
Well, I think that makes a stronger argument, right? Because Birmingham doesn't have a hurricane. And Huntsville doesn't.
They also don't have a coastline and got a lot of BP money.
Yeah, exactly. So the thing is that on this, the bridge, we're going to have to get it funded. And I think we've got a plan now that's reduced the funding of the bridge. We're on track.
Half of what had been proposed before, right?
Isn't that amazing?
Which is still significant money, but I mean, you're going to build something like that. It costs money. But what about the situation? You get elected, you go to Washington. I think the days of the feds are going to come in here and fund the complete 80% and just leave 20% local. I think something has changed. That ship has sailed.
Well, but you got to remember, and I've said it many times, in Mobile, Baldwin County, fastest growing county in the state. We've got 12% of the population, but we are generating 30% of the state's revenues.
Mm-hmm.
To me, if I were piloting a ship on this, I would pay special attention to this Baldwin County Mobile Bridge that needs to be built because it's going to enhance the revenue of the
region. Of course it is. And if it was like you and I talked about this, I've said so many times, as from a business perspective, if there's a part of my business that is bringing revenue,
You're listening to Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 1065. Call Sean now at 343-0106.
Right, welcome back, FM Talk 1065. And as you probably noticed, flash flood watch in effect as of now for Baldwin County and then over across the Florida line. Mobile County, we'll get our chance at it here soon because pretty heavy thunderstorms in Mobile County as well. But they're talking about already from Baldwin County heading east into Florida. Some areas already, did you hear that? Already had received 3 inches of rain. And this rain event's going to be going on through at least tomorrow morning, says staff meteorologist Dr. Bill Williams. So, y'all, yeah, keep your head on a swivel there. If you're in a low-lying area somewhere that gets those floods, be aware. Kind of watch that radar and see what's going on. And we'll check back in with Dr. Bill shortly, but that's what happened. Yeah, that we've now gone into a flash flood warning, and you can always check in on the text line. You see things you want to let share with other people out there weatherwise, 343-0106. You can also text in and talk to Bill Hightower, candidate for AL1, and we are less than a month because of we got a short month that we're already into it, and March 3rd is the primary.
Yes, and then four weeks after that is the runoff, if there is one.
Well, let's talk about that. Yeah. Let's talk about that because the idea of runoff, I mean, maybe it's pushed by people like me in talk radio, or maybe it's just pushed by reality, but you know, I look at polling numbers out, and if they don't change, we're looking at a runoff.
Well, statistically, with five people in the race, it's likely.
Yes.
But can't we dream? I mean,
well, sure. Everybody running for office should want to win it.
The public would be relieved to have it over, one and done. But you know, statistically, it's probably going to be a runoff, and so it matters what your message is. And you know, in that period of time, there'll be more differentiation. People will see that I have been strong on the issues of trying to lower their taxes and reform Montgomery. I'm a legislator. I've been for 6 years, but I term limited myself. How I've worked on things like pro-life, making it illegal to sell baby body parts, condemning Doug Jones for his vote against the Pain Capable Abortion Act. These are the kind of things that differentiate people.
Well, differentiate is important because I look through this, and I know when we, we've talked in the past and during the debate late last year and all that, I think on the idea of supporting President Trump, and I know what the people that work and say, here's kind of the message, and this is what resonates with voters. Do you believe that there are any of the folks you're running against that wouldn't support President Trump?
Well, I think everybody said they would support President Trump. But what does that mean, and do they have the record?
What does it mean?
So when I'm interviewing for a job, I give you a resume, and you look at it. And then for the interview, you're trying to figure out, well, these are a bunch of words here, but what's the real depth of it? I want to know whether that person has fought for religious liberties, has stood up and shut down our legislature in order to get the BP money. I want to know whether someone has thought about reforming our tax code to make us more competitive. And all those things I just listed, I did them.
Right. But there's that discussion seems to be secondary or tertiary to the discussion of supporting President Trump.
Oh, yeah. I mean, it does. I mean,
That's just frankly. I mean, I'm not.
Hey, look, I support him now today more than I did yesterday after that speech last night. I'm just flabbergasted. I mean, that was amazing. He said the values that I think made America great. He articulated them. He didn't leave God out of it. He talked about our Second Amendment rights. He honored the military. I just was so amazed at this man.
But what I'm looking at is I have a feeling, and there may be with some exception, but I know several of y'all that are running for this office quite well. And the conservative bona fides here, I don't doubt for any of y'all. I mean, that's, you know, you look at you're talking about Second Amendment rights. I mean, I don't think there was anybody standing on the stage during the debate that doesn't, for the Republic, that doesn't support Second Amendment rights.
That's right. But I'm a lifetime NRA member. I'm an A-rated legislator. All the candidates aren't.
That's what I'm getting. So why are you more effective?
My granddad was a co-founder of Ducks Unlimited. Man, that he wouldn't let me be anything but pro-gun.
Right, but what I'm getting at, if we're trying to differentiate, y'all all are pro-gun, so why are you more effective? You talked about the job interview thing. And so everybody, like I'm offering a job, I'm going to get a trained craftsman of something, or we'll get a welder. And everybody who comes to me, they've finished the same courses in welding, right? They all got the sheepskin, they've got it, they can all weld. Now I've got five guys that have the same, you know, they know how to weld. Same thing. Because, so why is this welder going to be better than the next? So why are you going to be a better? Let's just for sake of my discussion, you all support our right to keep and bear arms. Why are you going to be more effective at defending that than somebody else?
Well, I'd like to say first of all, all welders are not created equal.
That's true. But all I know you is know, that they all have a certificate. You see what I'm saying in this case?
Oh, yeah. That's why you have to look beyond that to look at a person's record. And that's why I've got a record. I've supported gun legislation in the state house time and time again. I've been identified as an A-rated NRA, A-rated legislator. You know, I'm a lifetime NRA member. I've got a permit to carry. Mm-hmm. I've got a carry permit insurance.
I'm just trying to figure out, though, is just because some of these things, you know, I talked to enough folks. I have no fear as a conservative and somebody who is a strong Second Amendment person. Like, I don't think there's any of y'all that don't support the Second Amendment. But I just have to figure out why one of y'all is going to be better.
Well, another thing I pointed out time and time again, I voted against tax increases.
And that's one of the next places I want to go here, because you have your tenure in the Senate, you never voted for.
No, I tried to reform it. I tried to implement the flat tax. I tried to repeal the grocery tax,
right?
Which is hugely one of my punitive. So, see, these are some differentiators,
okay.
You know.
Okay.
And I've signed the Americans for Tax Reform pledge that says if I go to Washington D.C., I'm not going to raise your taxes either, because the government will eat as much as you give it. So you got to draw the line.
Well, you've brought me to the next question. So you go and you move from being a state senator. Now you are in the House of Representatives representing AL1. Here come these bills, okay? And we've seen them. And you've got a bill that has great things for the state of Alabama, great things for AL1 in it. But then over here in page 3,944, it's spending on this or raising a tax on that. You know, that's the reality I see, and it's easy to sit back, and especially people that do what I do can sit back and go, well, a pox on them because they voted for this thing, but you didn't look at the other thing that was beneficial to the district. What do you do in that situation? How do you have a vote that there's something in there that's so beneficial for AL1, but in it is something that's so contrary to your beliefs?
Well, the person that's promoting that bill wants their bill to pass, and they know that there are so many signatories to the Americans for Tax Reform pledge that they got to watch their P's and Q's if they want to get their bill through. So what they do is they make sure that they don't violate something that principled.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what I've tried to do in my legislative career, is draw out principles, things like education is local, no new taxes without reform, you know, Second Amendment rights, things like, you know, I helped increase our veterans benefits while I was in the state Senate, and also helped rebuild the National Guard armories and things like this. But it was done within budget in a responsible way. I balanced every budget in Montgomery while I was there.
So what the heck are you going to do if you're elected and go to Washington, land of the unbalanced budget, land of the deficit spending? I don't care who's in power.
Yeah.
Right? I mean, Republicans or Democrats, I sit back and watch this. Show me where it's, you know, because the Democrats and their deficit spending. Heck, the Republicans and their deficit spending.
Yeah, I've been really dissatisfied with that. President Trump's tax reform was great. I mean, it gave the median household $45,000 over 10 years. It gave a family of four making $75,000 a year, gave them a 60% tax reduction,
mm-hmm.
You see? And so what is going to happen in that situation is that we're going to have to make sure people understand the danger our deficits pose to our way of life in the future. You know, we're leveraging our futures, our kids, grandkids, your kids. That's one of the reasons why I want to run, is because I want to try to have them to have the same great opportunities I had.
Okay.
Honestly. And the debt threatens that.
And it's good. I want to keep hearing that discussed because it's...
I know you're a fiscal hawk.
Yes. Mm-hmm. And I look at this and everybody's like, yeah, Sullivan, it's okay. Everything'll work out. Everything's going to work out.
You and I owe $180,000 more than what we think we owe because of the national debt.
I know.
Every taxpayer out there.
I talk about it all the time. Everybody's like, yeah, but it's all going to work out in the wash. It'll be fine.
Hey.
Can you hold on? We go to the news break. Come back. Okay, coming right back. More with Bill Hightower. By the way, from the text line, thank you. Charlie on the text line says, bad wreck on I-10 eastbound right past the DIP exit. Bad wreck, I-10 eastbound right past the DIP exit. We'll get you the latest when we return.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
All right, welcome back. FM Talk 106.5 and Midday Mobile. And return to our conversation with Bill Hightower, running for AL1. First, though, running for number one spot to stop by for precious metals advice. And actually, he's already won that election. It's Angelo at Mobile Bay Coins and Fine Jewelry. Hey, man.
Hey, how's it going today?
Going good. Let's talk about that. So we've been talking about this morning and throughout the midday show, President Trump's speech last night, State of the Union, and the effect on what does it do? I mean, when you're talking precious metals, what have you seen today? What kind of effect?
Well, actually, everybody seems a little calmer now. The markets, you know, tended to rebound. Gold and silver prices dropped a little bit. So it's actually looking pretty good right now. Great time to do some shopping and buy some gold and silver.
Okay. So let's talk about that. You've told me in the past, silver versus gold. You just recommended to be silver more than gold. Why did you do that?
Well, for a couple reasons. Number one, most of us think big, but we don't like to take that big old leap. So, you know, you can walk into the shop right now and pick up an ounce of silver for under $20. You can pick up a cool ounce of silver like the John Wick or the Mickey Mouse and Minnie Mouse for, you know, $25 or $30. And that's not so painful. You and I can handle that pretty easily. To get into gold, you know, an ounce of gold, you're talking almost $1,600. So, definitely a different look and feel to that. And at the same time, you would have made a lot more money investing in silver, timing it right, than if you would have put the same amount of money into gold.
There you go. That's what Angelo's been teaching us over the years, and it continues to be true. All right, people want to get a lesson about precious metals. They want to check out some of the Valentine's Day gift ideas or some of the great collectibles. How do they find you?
We're in Midtown, 2204 Government Street. You can always check us out online, mobilebaycoins.com, or check out social media, Facebook and Twitter.
All right. Thanks, Angelo.
Have a good one, John.
You too. Angelo checking in from Mobile Bay Coins and Fine Jewelry. And continuing our conversation with Bill Hightower, candidate for AL1. And if y'all hadn't been paying attention, we got less than a month here till the primary. What do folks need to know here in the meantime, between now and... What do you want to message to them between now and March 3rd?
Well, they can get all sorts of great information off of www.billhightower.com. You can see my videos. You can learn more about my background, because that matters, what a person's done, like we were talking about the resume. Yeah. And also go to that website, and you can sign up to get signs. You can sign up to volunteer. The group that's helping me, Sean, we're just having fun. I mean, this is a fun venture. It's like a business startup. And the people that are working with me, they're getting a great kick out of it, as I am too. It's so fun to get out and talk to people, learn what's important to them, and it prepares you for your service in Washington, D.C. If I ever get disconnected from that, I don't need to be there.
Yeah, that's one of the things I would ask, because you term limited yourself here in the state Senate. What about in the House of Representatives?
Well, you know, I'm the only legislator in Montgomery to bring a term limits bill and get a vote on the floor. And I was amazed that many of my Republican colleagues didn't support it. But I've also made a pledge, a term limits pledge up there. But I want to differentiate here something. If a legislator goes up there and is only there for three terms and backs out, and nobody else is following that rule, they are going to disadvantage their own district.
Wow, that's... I'm in complete agreement. I've said that forever.
Oh, yeah. Well, thank you. A lot of people don't notice that, but...
If everybody would do it at the same time, but I'm not going to take the lick in AL1. I don't want to take the lick in AL1 if we're the only ones doing it.
Well, that's why we need the law to make everybody do that. And I've signed a pledge that I would do that. If we could get that bill in place, and Senator Shelby pushed it when he was being reelected. He also, you could, bring that up and have a vote on it. I think we need to. I have an overwhelming feeling from people that they're ready for term limits. But, something that Trump said last night I love, he said, members of Congress, we must never forget that the only victories that matter in Washington are the victories that deliver for the American people. And I would say that for Alabamians. And, term limits make you more sensitive to what's going on. I think it gives turnover. Jack Welch used to turn 10% of his company over every year. I don't know that that's a hard and fast rule, but the idea is that you get new ideas. You get new ideas, fresh thinking, so that you can bring the right kind of change. And I think we got to feed government with liberty. You got to feed government with good people to represent you. It can never stop. Just like we have to, I was talking to a church group this morning about tending the garden of our heart. You have to tend it. You got to take care of it. You got to take care of your mind. And just like that, our liberty has to be cared for. And we have to keep sending the right people to Washington, D.C.
But that's incumbent upon the voters, right, to do that.
I mean, that is. Oh, yeah. That's right. And I'm thankful that in Mobile we have in Baldwin County and Clark and Washington, Escambia and Monroe, we have an engaged public. They, like you were saying at one of our breaks, the people that listen to your radio show, they vote.
Yes.
It matters. The tragedy is when you get into a situation where people don't think their vote matters. Mm-hmm. But I keep telling them, oh, please, it does matter. You got to vote. You got to take the time to understand who you're sending to D.C. You got to take the time to understand, are they going to be able to represent your values? And in my case, I like to say, just look at my track record. I don't think any other candidate has a track record I have in the legislature. And I'm out of the legislature now. I'm not climbing the ladder of politics. I just see this as an opportunity. I don't know if we talked about it, but when this seat opened up, my wife and I just looked at one another and we said, have we done everything we can do to try to help our country and our state? And we felt like we had to do this. And if we didn't, in 10 years, we might regret it. This is a great opportunity to serve, and I want to be able to serve in Congress.
All right. Well, we will be talking about this more, of course, over the next few weeks as we head to March 3rd. Once again, the website for more information?
BillHightower.com. You can sign up for and go to Bill Hightower for Alabama on the Facebook page.
Okay.
And just by doing that, you're going to learn tons about the campaign.
Very good. Thank you for your time. We'll see you again.
Great to be with you, Sean. Thanks for your service to the community.
I appreciate that. I appreciate all y'all. And we'll be back again tomorrow at 6 for Mobile Mornings. Reminder here, we've got that flash flood watch in effect. Looking at Baldwin County and Western Florida Panhandle. Mobile County, I don't think we're far off on this. We'll watch these showers and get more updates from staff meteorologist Dr. Bill Williams. Paul Feinbaum Show on the way next. You can always check us out online. Podcast of this show and the 40-plus hours a week of live local radio we do waiting for you at fmtalk1065.com. Just click the podcast tab.